Thank you very much. If you want to see rain, come and live where I live in Manchester. Then you'll know what rain's about. It's funny though, isn't it, how you look at things. I've just come back from France from skiing. And you used to look outside in the morning, it was raining. You used to go, yes! Because then it was snowing at the top of the mountain and you'd have lovely, lovely fresh snow. So you're really happy when it rained. And yet when we get home, it's like, oh, it's raining again. And it's quite fortunate as well that we're in this this building, which gives us shelter. And is this the building of God? Well, we're gonna look at that. Can I just ask you, what? You can interact, I don't mind adverse. If people want to shout out, that's absolutely fine. If you've got any thoughts or you disagree with anything that's there, I'll totally ignore you. If you agree with me, I really appreciate it. But what does that reading, what does it mean to you? If we were to carry on reading the rest of chapter 26, what does it mean to you? Well, we've got quite an intelligent lot. At Ashton, and when we talked about this at Ashton, these are some of the points that they came out with about the tabernacle, the building of God. They said things like it needs drawings, lots of people involved, source of materials, bright colours, God gave them a vision, it was transportable, and it gave them a focus, which, you know, I readily agree with all those. Now, I've been a Christadelphian now for, I think it's about 35 years. And I was led to believe that everything in the Bible was God's word, and it was God's purpose, and it was God's great and holy mind. And he was trying to show me how I should either live my life or point me towards a kingdom. And I'll be honest, and I'll hold my hand up here, when I used to read that, I thought, what is this about? What is it? It was so... It was, for use of a better word, it was really, really dry. And I thought, what is God trying to show me through this? And I'll be totally honest, at the beginning, I probably used to skip over some pages till I got to something which I thought, oh yeah, that's quite interesting. And then over years, eventually, I began to see the picture, and I saw pictures of the tabernacle and the curtains and how it was covered in goat's hair and the linen round about. And I understood the picture then, and how they used to take the offerings in the priest and put them on the altar and inside, and I kind of got the picture. But I still didn't understand, really, what God was trying to tell me about this tabernacle of God. And then eventually I began to understand through reading and reading round, and I have to hold my hand up and say that a person that helped me to understand this was a rabbi. Not that I know a rabbi personally, but it was a book by the chief rabbi, used to be of England, Jonathan Sacks. And he really opened up the actual spiritual aspect of the tabernacle. The tabernacle of God wasn't, as we see there, it wasn't a building. It was a kind of a focus. And what we're going to look at is what God does, and we're going to look as well in the exhortation, is God gives you something to focus on, to think about, and say, what is God telling me about this building? So there's a picture of the tabernacle. What kind of things do we see there? Well, it's interesting that they're all camped round in tribes of three tribes or four round the outside of the tabernacle. All the tents are facing in. Okay, yeah, does that really matter that all the tents are facing in? The tents are close together. Tents are made of very, very thin material. And you've got to be thinking, what's the first thing that they see every morning as they open the curtains? Not rain, but what was the first thing? Every morning as they open the curtains. The first thing they saw was the tabernacle of God. The first thing was the place where God was dwelling with his people. And at night, the last thing they saw was when they closed the curtains, was the last thing at night they saw was the dwelling place of God. The other thing about that picture is they lived very, very close together. They were very, very connected. My wife's quite philosophical, she's not really, but sometimes comes up with words of wisdom, says, Mark, it's only walls that keep us from people outside, isn't it? Speaks very broad Lancashire, my wife. And when I got thinking about it, I thought it's right, isn't it? We're going to our houses, which are made of brick, the more soundproof we can make them, the better. And we shut the door and the outside world is cut off. And sometimes now we can get the Tesco van backing up to our door, and it puts your food in. You never have to see your neighbours. You never see them. And yet they didn't have that. They were so closely connected with the neighbours that they could hear what each other was talking about, probably what each other was doing, and they had a connection together. But if you look at the record of Tabernacle, and if you just look at it in linguistic terms, the number of words that are used to describe the building of the Tabernacle, it's more than creation. And you think, well, why is that? Why is that? Well, God couldn't go on explaining about creation because it's beyond our mind how he actually did create the heavens and the earth. But in the Tabernacle, he's given us a detailed explanation of his dwelling with his people. So what does it actually mean to us? Another thing you can see there, I don't know what you think about it, but you can see up there the actual holy place here. And it's covered with goat skins, it's covered with bat skins. It doesn't look that attractive. It's not much to actually look at. You can see the linen all around. The people could just see all the white linen. But once you got inside, it didn't actually have much to look at. Now, my sister kind of took me to task on this when I said it, but we had a good discussion about it. And I said, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't much to look at. People weren't drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was a handsome man or did the latest fashion clothing on. They looked at the Lord Jesus Christ because of what was within. And what was within there was beautiful. It was gold. It was bright. And it was pure. Now we know these pictures and we can think, well, that's the picture in the most holy place. And yet what does it actually mean to each and every one of us? Where did the children of Israel come from before they built the tabernacle? Where did they come from? Question time. They come out of Egypt. Okay, they come out of Egypt. And what were they in Egypt? Were they entrepreneurs? Were they bankers? What were they in Egypt? They were slaves. So they had nothing, absolutely nothing to their names. So where did they get? Somebody could say, well, where did they get all the materials to build all these things? Where did they get the gold? Where did they get the silver? Where did they get all these things from to build this tabernacle of God? From the Egyptians. That's correct. It says, speak now in the hearing of the people, that each man and each woman was to ask his neighbour for articles of silver and gold and clothing and materials. And the Lord had given people favour in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. So they went to the Egyptians, let me have all your gold, let me have all your silver, let me have all your material that you got, and all your clothing, give it to me. And they went, oh yes, I'll give you everything. Can you imagine if somebody asked you? They call that mugging nowadays, isn't they? And that's what it says. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. They took everything off the Egyptians and walked away with everything they had, and they built the tabernacle of God with it. That's what they did. But I suggest what God is teaching us here is not about us making a building like we've got here, which is a roof over our head, which keeps the rain off us. It's about, we'll have a demonstration, let's just say, David and Roger and John. What we'll do is, if you could kneel down, if you don't mind, and then what I'd like you to do is I want some of you to stand on their backs, and I'd like two of you at the end to lean over and actually make a roof. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do that, don't worry. And it's lovely to see David. He was keen, he closed his Bible, he put it down, he was ready. He was ready to do it. But that's what God is saying to us here in this tabernacle. It's about us being the house of God. If you notice little things like when it said just in those six verses, if you want to read Exodus chapter 26 and the rest of the account of the tabernacle, there's wonderful words like coupled together, joined together, clasp, and all these things. And it's the joining together of people. It's all about us being, for use of a better word, linked together. The word religion means glued together, joined together. So we're the household of God. We have to be linked together. So I have to know, in my own ecclesia, about each and every one of my brothers and sisters. If one of them is kicked, I limp. We feel the same things together. That is what God was teaching us here with the tabernacle of God. So we all need to give. We all need to contribute. Now God said to the people, nobody can bring more and nobody can bring less. They all had to contribute exactly the same. And they all had to contribute in different ways. Some were workers of wood, some were skilled in sewing, but they all contributed. Everybody has to contribute to the house of God. They had to work together. Do you think that's important, working together? You know, sometimes we can work together and we get to know somebody better. I had an occasion where I went away with somebody to France, and I asked this person, I said, would you come and help me do some decking? I didn't really know this person overly well, and we're going to be there for 5 days. Now, I'll admit, I was quite nervous about spending, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk to this person about for 5 days? And we had wonderful conversations for 5 days. And do you know what? When I came back, I knew that person so much better than before I went, because we had worked together. So what God was saying, he didn't say to the high priest, you build the tabernacle of God. He didn't say to the high priest, it's just you who are going to be involved. He said to the people, every single person will contribute. So when you see that house of God erected in the wilderness and you look at that, you have got a connection with that house of God, the place where God was to dwell. Now I'm going to tell you a lovely story, and I think it is a nice story. It's about a man called Lord Victor Michigan. Lord Victor Michigan had two friends, like we all have friends, and he invited them round for tea. And the two friends were King Hussein of Jordan, and the other friend was Shimon Peres. Very similar to us, you know. I had Babis Johnson round last night. But these were the kind of friends, and they had a meal. They had tea together. And both of them, at the end of the meal, stood up, and he said, thank you, Victor, we've had a lovely evening tonight. And he said, whoa, where do you think you're going? Well, we're off. Oh, no, you're not. He says, it's in our house. If you eat at my table, you wash up and you dry the pots. So King Hussein of Jordan was in the sink, washing the pots, and he was passing them to Shimon Peres, who was drying them and putting them in the cupboard. And during that time, they became friends. And they used to talk to one another and communicate with one another. And if it hadn't been for the president of Israel at that time, the peace treaty between Jordan and Israel would have been signed. And it was later on. And in fact, that Lord Victor Michigan was given the Star of Jordan for his work in the peace treaty. And what he said was the fact that they had worked together allowed something to be built, which was the peace treaty. I mean, what do we see there? let's see, house, a lovely house. The kind of house that I would draw now. A child would probably be able to draw it, but that's the kind of house I draw. I'm rubbish at drawing. It's got a door and the windows. But it's not, it's bricks. And we can look around us and we can see all around us what God's trying to teach us. It's bricks, it's all bricks, cemented by our beliefs and in the Word of God, cemented together that make a house. Each of those bricks is important. Take one of those bricks out, or take a number of the bricks out, and the house will fall down. Like my house. I'm rubbish at DIY. Dry stone wall. I think this is an even better example. Dry stone wall. Because all those bricks are the same, aren't they? They're all uniform. They're all the same. But we're not all the same. Some of us have different talents. Some of us might be able to speak. Some of us are good at do-it-yourself. Some of us are good at singing. Some of us are good at playing the ox. Some of us are good at cooking. Whatever. We all contribute. And that's why dry stone walls are different. They're not all the same size. And sometimes, you know, the little stone that's wedged in there, just knocked in, is the one that really supports that dry stone wall and keeps it strong. So every person is important. So you should never say, I have nothing to contribute. Your contribution might just be to see that person at the back of the room and to go and have a very quiet word with them. And you might not have given a talk or an exhortation, but you'll have had more impact on that person by that little word that you said. What's that a picture of?
Cornerstone.
It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't really, but that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was. He was the chief cornerstone of the building. It doesn't mean that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say is, we're built on the cornerstone. And I'm not a builder, but I believe that is the most important stone. Is that first stone that's put in is the cornerstone, which everything, that stone's wrong, everything's wrong. So we're built on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't a stone, he's a human being. He's God's son, and that is what we're built on. So we don't stand on John and David and Roger's back. We stand on the Lord Jesus Christ and we link one another together and we make the house of God. That is a responsibility for each and every one of us to make sure that we're involved in the building of that house. But you may say, well, it's all right. You probably just made all this, you just painted this picture. For yourself. You've taken something there which is given by God as an instruction, as a guidance of where his house was to be in the wilderness, and they used to pick it up and they used to transport it. And that's interesting, isn't it? They didn't leave the house of God and then go home and go off for a week and then come back to the house of God. When the pillar of cloud used to move, they picked the tabernacle up, it was packed up, put on the shoulders of the Kohathites, and it was carried. So wherever they went, the house of God went with them. So wherever we go, the house of God goes with us. We are individually the house of God, we are a part of the house of God, together we're a house of God, and wherever we go, God is with us, and we should be with God at all times. Let's just have a look at some passages just to confirm that it is the Word of God. Let's just go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll mainly stay in there and just go to Ephesians chapter 2. So what God's given them there in the beginning is he's given them, for use of a better word, a type. He's given them a type. He's given them what we call a shadow. He's given them something there which is pointing forward, which is moving forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is moving forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and to all those when the Lord Jesus Christ returns who become the house of God, and then God will dwell with his people. So we're back in the beginning when we're in the wilderness. God is saying, this is what it's going to be like in the end. He was saying to them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens. You are one, you are joined together with the saints, and you have God's household, having built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone." Now what's most interesting, we've got some of our brothers and friends who are Iranians. We don't understand that strangers and aliens. We don't get it. They get it. They've left their land and they've come here as strangers and aliens to be joined to us as a household of God. And what God's saying, you're no longer strangers, you're part of our household. We're part of each other. It says, "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." And you go through the Bible, you go through the tabernacle, then Solomon built the temple, they repaired the temple, Herod built a temple. And what the Jews and the children of Israel, the Lord was looking for, is for God to come and dwell with them again. They missed the Messiah, as we'll see later, they missed him. And that is what they're looking for when God's temple, God's kingdom, will be on this earth. Chapter 3, verse 17. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints." Interestingly, what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Do you see that? The tabernacle, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, it gave them instructions. The Lord Jesus Christ is a chief cornerstone. And we have to know the length, but we have to know how we are involved in that structure and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. He's a chief cornerstone. We just need to put ourselves firmly on him. Chapter 4 and verse 12. We'll make this the last one. It says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work." It's a work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. "Until we all attain the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, we become a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Then as a result, we are no longer children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but we speak the truth in love. And then we grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." And then it says, "For whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper work of each individual part, causes the growth of the body into a building up of itself in love." So we're not like that rickety old building which is falling down, he says. We are joined together and we are growing in all aspects. So this room is not the house of God. I assume it's stone and plaster. That's all it is, with UPVC windows and glass. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. You are the house of God. The tabernacle with the goat skins, the linen, the gold inside, the silver, was nothing. It was showing the Lord Jesus Christ and you as a household of God. Last verse, last two verses, Revelation chapter 21. So there we see Exodus is the children of Israel coming out of slavery, the beginning of them as God's chosen people. And Revelation is the last words spoken to John. And what does John say in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1? And this is the vision he was given. "I saw a new heaven, I saw a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. So that is what the tabernacle of God is about. This is just a picture of something that we've done working together, and it shows how working together you can build things. We've built a garden. It was rubbish before, it's concrete. It's now a community allotment where people can come and get fruit and veg who walk down the street and take it home with them. But the fact is, we've got Mette there and Moshkin who've helped us to build that wonderful garden. It was all of us working together that we created something which shows to people around of the wonder of being in the household of God. So this week, let's try and work together. Let's try and link each other together. Let's try and know who's been kicked and that we all link together. And let's, rather than thinking about the building, let's all think about linking and building the household of God. Because it won't be long before Jesus returns, and then God will want to dwell with those who are within that structure. Thank you.